Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. You know it's better late than never. You know it's better late than never. And just to make you feel a little better about what kind of show we're doing today, guess what we have, people? Brian? Yes, yes, people. We really want Steve. We have Steve. You got Steve Rummage in the building.
Where we're at, and I'm still the lead. I like that. That makes me feel good.
You have to say that again because you've thrown off the show. Thank you for that. I have no idea what you just said.
I said, look, where we're at, the people were around. I mean, you know, and I'm still the lead. I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Makes me feel good. Oh, stop it. Speaking of leads, how about I just jump straight into baseball? No, we can't jump straight into baseball that fast. The 1-0 victory that the University of Louisville fan base needed more than anything imaginable, Steve?
No, it was. It was really needed. I mean, because now you kind of – I heard somebody bring it up earlier. It's really a way of looking at it. Say, now for the first time, you kind of feel like you're a part of the World Series. Usually you go in there and get busted, and you're going, well, here we go.
I did that entrance such a disservice by just jumping right into it. But sometimes – you say things, and I kind of play off the things you say. And again, when you said lead, the only thing I could think about was Louisville winning 5-0, and then Louisville winning 5-2, and then Louisville winning 5-4, and me thinking everything in life is focused on making me unhappy right now. Yeah. It was a rough week. When it was 5-4, I was in trouble.
There's moments in the past 7 days where I felt like the world had something against me. I mean, that's fair. I don't see nothing wrong with that, right? As they turn the TV down and I confess everything.
What is the word that I'm thinking of where just the universe, you feel like you're the center of the universe? I'm normally quick with this word because I've accused many of women of being this person. I can't think of it. I'm sure somebody will tweet it in. They know the exact word I'm talking about. I'm something. But
yeah,
I felt like that. I felt like the sports gods were rearing to thrust a thunderbolt of lightning. The Zeus of the sports gods was targeting me in particular. Hey, Marcus, you want to try that year of the Cardinal?
The opposite. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like everything that was the year of the Cardinal, we are going
enjoy to the year of the Cardinal. Now you get 4 years of the year of the crap. So, like, oh, great. Yeah. Awesome.
Year, actually, we might make that an actual a test question. What is the opposite of the year of the Cardinal? What? Yeah. Because we were headed there. We were headed there after last week. And I got a lot. We're going to have some discussion later on in the show that I think either reinforced what we thought about the conspiracies that are no longer conspiracies, and we'll get some reinforcement of what we thought about this whole scandal situation from day one. And it's one of those unfortunate incidences where you're right, but you don't like to be right on this one, so you can't really spike the ball because spiking the ball would be acknowledging that we're in trouble.
But first.
Right.
I think
I'll bring it back home. That's what we always do.
And we'll get into all that, but let's not overlook this. Let's not overlook that the baseball team is 1-0 in Omaha now. They're just, two wins away now from heading to the championship series?
Two wins away.
And it's setting them nicely. They got Florida Tuesday night.
Aceless Florida.
Yeah.
Tuesday night. There was conversation. This here, it's one of those quarterback problems, but this is where having two quarterbacks is not a problem. The discussion between Brandon McKay starting or not starting is the best problem to have in a World Series situation. This, Steve, is exactly why I bought all my stock after the loss against Florida State.
Yeah.
Those one-game scenarios, anything can happen. But when everyone's planning, you saw something, you saw a little bit of this in the Texas A&M game. You saw coaches who don't normally do things they do, changing their entire game plan, right?
Yeah.
Trying to win a tournament, a double elimination Elite Eight style tournament, right?
Right.
They changed their pitching lineups. They didn't go with their normal. They tried to plug and play with their aces and their secondary. The University of Louisville has two unbelievable aces, unreal middle relief, and a closer of the year.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the award.
Yeah.
But the University of Louisville has
stopper.
It's the like stopper best award. closer in baseball. Hence, Vegas on odd favorites to win the entire World Series. How bad?
I mean, Louisville makes plays. I think you see yesterday, I mean, Logan Taylor got to a ball that there's not many outfielders in the College World Series are going to make that play. I mean, over-the-shoulder catch. I mean, the way he ran that down, the ground he closed.
Heart was racing a bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the difference. Those plays are the difference in teams that win it all and teams that go home in the first 2-3 days.
Right. And maybe we can talk about a couple of individual plays that happened during the game. But I will say this. There was a moment during the game. That moment was when Drew Ellis was mad at maybe Lincoln Hensman when Drew Ellis and Lincoln Hensman maybe got into it about a bunt that Lincoln didn't put down. I think that was
right.
But I'm not positive. Point being, they were upset with each other.
Yeah.
They went right to the dugout. They talked about what just happened. They hashed it out.
Yeah.
It took 6 minutes of a argument that could have been a full argument turned into a good team building exercise. Get the problem out. Let's go win this game. When you can do that amongst your teammates,
yeah,
that's championship winning formulas.
That's true.
And only people who've been mad at teammates and Bert, the commentator's name,
yeah,
I think he made reference to it. Being able to hold your teammates accountable without it turning into a big blow up.
Yes.
In a high pressure situation, because listen, no, make no mistake about it. These guys are nervous, you know.
Of course.
And their whole their careers, yeah, their reputations, needing to make the University of Louisville feel good back home. Like, these are all factors that guys have brewing.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign.
Yeah.
You're thinking about what's going on moving forward.
We haven't even mentioned yet, and I think we need to where we're at. I mean, and what's going on
you
today?
Can do today better than I
today's
can.
Kind of kicking off Cardinal Week, and last year was an incredible event. I mean, the entire week all the way through. We're at the Rusticulous Golf Scramble today, which we were at last year. I think it's 2 years straight. We were the first in. We were. I mean, it's fine.
It's fair to say we're day one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got Tim Barnett, man, helping us out. We'll find him around and get him on. But here's kind of going to be a theme of the show today.
It's a beautiful day out here too, by the way.
We were talking about Omaha. And we're going to call quite a few of those today. I mean, I think that's fair, right? I mean,
yes.
We have people around, and we're going to bring people in. And I think we may want to get to that. So
let's make a quick Omaha for now.
Yeah.
Brian Hall, quick commercial break. People, what's coming out of the break, you won't want to miss every single time. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
Feel as they're appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, when I tell you don't go anywhere, I reward you for not going anywhere.
Right
now, we have called a bit of an audible, but this audible has been a long time coming. I am going to hold this man accountable for some personal promises he made to me, but first we're going to have a good segment of the show. Welcome, Pops. And what I mean by Pop, Russ Smith Sr.
What's up, y'all? What's going on, man?
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so golf scramble time.
Yep.
You've been one of the brainchilds on this thing to see it come to fruition. Beautiful golf course.
Yeah.
How do we get people out here to enjoy this with us?
Oh, man, you just got to come out and support, you know, and that's what it's all about. We got the foundation, the Russ Smith Foundation going on, and, you know, pretty much it's just giving back to the community. You know, what comes in is going to go right back in, you know, to the community. You know, and that's what it's all about, fun. A lot of NBA players, you know, when they're done with college, some don't come back to the school and, you know, and try to help out or give that hand. But we're here to do it every year. We just want to just give back, man. We got so much going on this week, bro.
Now you seem to have completely adopted Louisville, kind of like me, Russ the same way.
Yep.
Like, what went into your decision to bring so much of yourself and Russ here to Louisville instead? Because, I mean, you can always, you know, be who you are in New York,
right.
but you definitely put a lot of effort into being a staple of the Louisville community. What went into that decision?
Well, you know, I do it a lot in New York, been doing it for years. So it's one of them things where you just pass it on down to your son. And I always tell people, you know, how they treated my son here for the last 5-6 years. It's like a give back. It's appreciation, you know, and I see that, you know, they appreciate him. They appreciate me when I'm out of, you know, in the town or the bow. So I said, I wanted to bring that New York flavor down here with the give back.
Now, when you talk about give back, Russ Smith's name is still his name, right?
Right, right.
You could charge a lot more for
the
activities.
Yeah, of course.
You've chosen not to.
Yep. But, you know, it's, again, it just goes back. You know, you got a lot of single parents out here, you know, who can't afford to pay, you know, to pay that price. And at the end of the day, it's not all about, you know, charging them, you know, that fee that needs to be charged. At the end of the day, you want to put a smile on a kid face, smile on a parent face, and a smile on a city face, just to let you know it ain't about the money.
No, I was just going to tag on to that. I mean, every year we do this, I go back to how incredible it is to have – I mean, when you're talking the camp coming up this year, Terry Rozier, Russ Smith, Peyton Siva, guys like that, and it's hands-on.
Yep.
Like, I think you're going to be around for the entire week.
Yep.
I mean,
so you're playing too, right?
Yep, I'm playing. Yeah, I'll be playing in the charity game that I put together for Officer Rotman. You know, I had to play in that, man. You know, I'm balling.
I'm going to try to work my way into that.
So. No, I'm telling you, we were having the conversation in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Was Steve ready to actually participate? He should be ready to go, right?
He can go, man.
I mean, you know, it's all right.
So what's your game looking like nowadays?
I ball. Come on, man. I ball.
Right. There was no hesitation whatsoever.
I had to ask the question, people, because we remember, and we all had the same reaction. That's Russ's dad? Right, we all had the same reaction when you first became a person of interest, on the television, and you still stay in great shape.
I stay in shape. I just 2 days ago, before I left, I had one of my barbers challenge me, man. I just looked at him like, come on, man.
Okay, so last time you played Russ 1-on-1, when was the last time you beat him 1-on-1?
About 6 months ago.
Stop it.
Just before he came
back. Is he going to confess to that?
He can confess anything he want to confess. He know what it is.
So when you play 1-on-1, are we talking 2 dribbles, 3 dribbles?
We do the 2 dribble.
The 2 dribble.
Two dribble. That keeps you thinking.
Did you have him at 2 dribbles at a young age?
Yep. I had him at 2 dribbles at started him at 2 dribbles when he was about 5. Started playing when he was 3, had him at 2 dribbles at 5.
For people who don't understand, one-on-one.
Right, I was going to say, you need to explain that. Yeah.
One-on-one, top of the key,
yep.
You have 2 dribbles to score a basket. That means you take advantage of your jab step, your first step. So if you're wondering why some of these guys have these incredibly quick first steps and long first steps, it starts with your children, you know, playing one-on-one with only 2 dribbles.
2 dribbles.
Is that something you're going to do with the camps at all?
Yeah, we're going to, you know, teach a few kids that.
Or do you worry that they're not experienced enough?
Well, it depends how you teach it. You know, if they're not experienced, but again, you got to have that gift, you know, with kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what I could teach a 3-year-old, 2-year-old how to play right now.
Talking with Russ Smith Sr. here on 93.9. Now let me ask you this. You have a lot of the names, the players, you know, giving back and everything.
Right.
Does it ever worry you that the names won't carry the same weight, you know, due to, you know, everything that goes on with the NCAA right now?
Well, it's the life we live in, point blank.
Yeah,
it's the world we live in.
Right.
What are you going to do? You're going to stop breathing because X, Y, Z? You keep going and just continue to put a smile on people's face.
So as a parent, you don't take it so personal because, you know, like, I mean – just knowing the scope, the, you know, the climate that we live in, you kind of just dismiss it as this is the world.
This is what we live in. This is the world we live in, man. We just got to take it as it comes.
Yeah, well, I mean, and to kind of go along with that, just and not too far here, but I mean, Russ had a heartfelt letter to the Courier Journal in the last day that I think everybody's got to read. I don't know if you've got a chance to read it.
No.
Okay. I mean,
which was going to be my follow up question.
Yeah.
Had you encouraged that? You know what I'm saying? Because it was a well placed letter. It was well thought out, well written. You know, thoughts. And it's good to know that, you know, that wasn't a tactical PR move or anything.
Because
the skeptic would say, oh, of course, you know, he'll say something now. But no, that, I mean, it struck me as
it's extremely genuine. Yeah, that's why I kind of getting kind of your take on it. But, of course, if you haven't read it yet.
No, I haven't read it.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I don't actually know what's going on, you know.
So you do you purposely just avoid, you know, the conversation hearing about, like, with the NCAA?
Well, I just – it's funny because – I just heard about it prior to leaving New York.
You just heard about the NCAA
with the ban. I just heard about that. You know, someone had to let you Russ, did you hear about what came down the Louisville thing? Matter of fact, it was in the Daily News. In the New York Daily News. And I seen the 5-game thing. I was like, wow. You know, and then I hear reading on, they want the banner. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Now they're reaching.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, I always say, innocent people always get caught up in situations like this. So that means you're dragging the innocent people and you're punishing them for no reason. If you're going to punish somebody, it's like punish the individual.
Right.
It's like somebody going to, to commit a crime. Those who committed the crime, but they went back to the house and sat and ate popcorn with someone else. Are you going to charge them to also?
You've been a college fan forever. You've been involved in the basketball circuit. Do you think this is different from the way it's handled other places? Like, do you feel like there's a little bit of something about Louisville makes them overreach?
Of course. First of all, this has been going on before I was born. You know, if I could sit here and go into old situations and you'd be like, huh? And they want to do this for them. Well, you got to think about it. You're talking about a Hall of Fame coach. Simple as that.
He's a target.
When you're very successful, you're always a target, no matter what. Just keep that in mind. Hall of Fame, but you know, Rick Pitino, he's done this, he's done that. You know, he's just, you know, won a national championship after what, 29 years. You know, it doesn't matter. And you got someone saying X, Y, Z.
Did you feel like Russ was targeted too? Because like let's be clear, the one name that you wanted to hear was Russ Smith. You know, or a name that carried the most weight on the team.
Talking about, like ESPN, for the story-wise, they want to hear that.
In my opinion, I think everybody reached for some kind of connection with Russ Smith anybody. And I actually took, what was it, John Barr?
Yeah,
ESPN's
absolutely.
John Barr to task because he talked about who he interviewed. Russ was playing on
Delaware.
He was less than 1 hour drive from the guy who ran an ESPN, you know, story.
Found Andre McGee in an Uber.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
But did not cross that highway to ask Russ Smith any questions. You know, not even contacted him to ask it. That's when I first thought this was a targeted, you know, plot. Cool. And to not have Russ's name involved at all shows that not only was he not a part of it, he was – unaware of it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel like that?
Yeah, you know, I felt like that. Again, you know, it's always they reaching for someone who has to be to blame. So you go after the McGee. You know, Russ could be a tough guy, but we want the money guy. Who could be the money guy? You know, Russ is just okay. You know, he's the star, but who set this up? Who did X, Y, Z?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So Russ is almost like extra credit if we can get anything out of him.
Okay, so, this morning I was on the Diener show, and someone asked a question. They said, being that the attempt to take the banner is looming, and pardon me if I got to ask these questions.
Yep.
I got scared. With the banner being looming, you know, the vacation of the banner, does it feel like you're missing something, like you're losing something? Personally, because, you know, people who went through it say, I don't know how to feel about this.
Right.
Some people say, I don't care what little rule they're making.
Right.
Where do you stand as far as, you know, personally?
Right. Personally, you want the banner, you can have the banner, but you can't take away the wins. You can't take away what was performed on the floor.
And that's not a political answer.
No, that's not a political answer.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to, just be real. You know, the banner did not compete on the floor. You better than compete on the floor. Them kids was out there competing on the floor. Who, you know, who beat Duke by 20? Who ran through this team? Who ran through that?
It's the same game. Who ran through Kevin Ware.
Kevin Ware broke it. So, I mean, what? That had nothing to do with the banner. You know, the banner, you know, at the end of the day, people go looking at history books. Oh, this happened. But, okay, the banner came down, but they still got the ring. They still won the championship. They, you know.
And last question I asked about it. How much have you and Russ discussed it? Did you get a vibe for how he was feeling? Did you think that he was, that it was, you know, weighing on him at all?
No, it wasn't weighing on him. Russ is just different, man. You know, he's just a different breed. Russ just, you know, his mind is somewhere else. His mind is just ball and having fun and knowing what he accomplished. We don't, you know, people don't realize we don't get into that crazy stuff like LeVar and, you know, his sons. I'm
far. What do you think about that, by the way?
Man, what do I think about it?
I'm curious.
This is good.
You know what? I kid you not. I think it's – forget pressure. It's beyond pressure. You know.
Dad is applying.
Yeah, forget about it. It's you know, and like some people saying, you know, he's living his son through a dream. Now, let's talk from a business aspect. Where his head is at, far as, you know, want to do the deals, I get that. Don't get me wrong.
That's what we said.
I get that because, you know, you do get a lot exploited by these sneakers companies. Yeah. And then, so I get it. But the way he went about it, you got to be a little humble. When you go to the table, meet with these guys, you sit down, say, okay, Nike, this is what I would like to do. Want to work together. We want to do X, Y, Z. You can't go, oh, my son, this, that. So now when he doesn't prove who he is, the kid goes into a shell and it could hurt him, and you sitting back like, wow. That's why, you know, out through Russ' whole career as a kid watching him play, I always sat in the stands and be quiet. Never. I mean, even in college, never. I just sat there and just quite humble. You know, humble, you know, it's the best thing. But with LeVar, I get, you know, people are pissed off because just the way he's projecting it. But I get
just
what he's
creating enemies.
Right, just create men. But again, he has the right idea. He has the right idea. You just got to know how to approach it in a manner of a way. That's all.
Well, speaking of pressure, speaking of cut from a different cloth, we're still putting more pressure on Russ Smith than any university in history. Everybody, I get this question. What do we got to do to get – they compare every guy under 6'3".
Right.
In the NBA to Russ Smith, right?
Right.
And I'm sure he hears that. We hear it on this show.
It's a common topic, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So where's he at right now? Like, where's he at mentally and where's he at professionally?
Mentally, mentally he's great. You got to think about when you've been.
So frustration's not setting in.
No, what I mean for mentally, it's not like he's going crazy or anything like that. He just, you know, it's a little frustrated.
Of course.
You know, it's always, you know, that's part of being human. You know, the frustration part, knowing that, you know, people don't want to give you that fair shot, you know. And so that's a little frustrating. But, you know, when he has a chance, know elsewhere, you know, where he can make good money, still have fun, and play at the same time, it's like, well, I'm having fun.
But he's still enjoying. Yeah. Okay, so you think he's still enjoying, you know, challenge?
He still enjoyed just 2 days ago. He just had two pre-games in China. He had 39 a game. So that right there tells you, you know, he's still Russ. It's all a matter of time and the timing.
A little birdie told me that at a dinner about 2.5 weeks ago that Russ Smith sat around the table and said he was going to have 80 in this little stint in China at some point.
Wow.
So I don't know if he got the 80 yet. I'm curious.
I didn't know that. But look, his two games he just had, he had 39 apiece. So that just, what it tells you, it just shows you, like, he has to get to a system.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, if you don't know basketball, system is everything.
Yeah.
I give you a perfect example. Jeremy Lin, when he came to the Knicks, sat at the end of the bench, right through his garbage. Somebody went down, went hurt, they let him rock. Simple. These guys who's 14 and 15, 16 men, they can play, but you got to put them in the system.
I mean, do you think that's one of the main reasons Russ isn't in the league? I mean, guys with contracts. Because in the D League, a lot of times guys that have the contract are going to get the look over the other kid no matter what.
Well, it's, you know, that's one of the main – system is always going to be main.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at a game, and it's just to show you, you have to know basketball. If you look at a game, when he played against the Warriors a year and a half ago, they was getting blown out, and they put him in. They was down 30. He went on a 16-0 run by himself. Yeah. And and lost the game by four. So that tells you about the game method. The game, if you're a basketball and you know your game, that tells you about.
Well, let me ask you this, because ironically, this conversation came up about 10 hours ago. I was out at a certain establishment that I will name, very late, right? Russ Smith conversation came up. I was asked the question, what's the worst thing they say about him? In your opinion, like, what's that knock? Because you know, we're having this conversation.
Easy, I can tell you that.
And everybody's supporting Russ.
Right.
It's like, what do we not know that's being said about him that gets him outside the door?
Well, it's that turn. Keep taking care of the ball. And I always said that. I mean, again, I'm not a hypocrite. I know his weakness. I know what he can't do because I know what I created.
Right.
I created a score machine. Right. I didn't create a.
Brian, make sure you have that
That's
mark.
Good.
We need that quote forever.
Let me say it again. Russ Smith, I created him. He's a score machine. I didn't create no assist guy to average 10 assists a game. New York, we don't do that, New York. We go to the hoop. We shoot. We score. And I kid you not, all his life, score. Yeah. You got to think about it. He's been a scorer since he was 5 years old. I never say, okay, you got to go to the point now. You got to pass on the ball. We don't pass the ball. So I'm going to be honest. You know, but I got to be honest, man. And this is the problem. So if you know, when he first got to Louisville as a freshman, people trying to figure out did he belong here because coach kept putting him at the point.
Right.
And he's trying to pass the ball and throw a turnover because he's not used to passing the ball. So now he would be in practice, and when guys come get him, he'd go blow past him and go score. Coach get pissed. Like, yeah, no, you got to pass the ball.
Yeah.
So now that's frustrating. So, and I don't know if I told the story. So now the end of the season when he wanted to leave, I said, nah. The coach said, look, we got a choice. He's about to take a trip to the Bahamas.
Right.
Remember that trip?
Yep.
I said, coach, do me a favor. Put him at the two. If he doesn't do well at two, I'll pull him out. All right, let's do that.
You'll pull him out of Louisville.
I'll pull him out of Louisville.
I don't
want to set my son up for failure. He's setting up for failure to keep him there. No, he's not a point guard. It's not. They went to the Bahamas. He said, okay, cool. They went to the Bahamas. They played about five games. They put him at the two. He averaged 25 points a game.
Yeah.
So you think he won Coach Pitino over during that move to the two?
Of course, because it showed at the same time he was a scoring guard, and you got Peyton was a sophomore, so Coach Smart like, wow, we can use it. Peyton passing and he's scoring.
Was he uncomfortable putting that size out there of those two guards in the beginning?
Well, at that time, a lot of schools were starting to put size out, so he wasn't Rick, you know, it's a guard dude. So at that time, a lot of schools was playing two and three guards.
Right.
Villanova.
Right.
They were starting to play the three guards. So when he seen that, he's like, wow, you know, and the rest was history, man. But I never taught him. I was a point guard in body style, but all my life I played the three, man. I was a bully.
Yeah.
I didn't play the two. I played the three.
So this weekend, the charity all-star event.
Yes.
Yeah.
At Ballard High School.
At Ballard High School. Where can it give everybody a place to reach it out to get involved? I don't have the numbers right in front of me. None of us have the numbers.
Well, guy, you know who Tim Barnett is.
Yeah.
Tim Barnett. Yeah. Tim Barnett is like the mayor of the town.
We will have him coming up.
Yeah, Tim will come up and Tim will give him all the information. You know, where is it at and time frame.
So give me a stat line for the weekend then, since you are playing, before we get you out of here.
Stat line. Humble, man.
I'm
just humble, man.
We used to be humble until we got the
humble
microphone. But the microphone has a way of bringing it out.
I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, 15 and 10, man. I like to rebound the ball. I like to play D, man.
That's fair.
You know, play some D, man.
No, that's good.
You know, I might pull a Russ move, man. Just don't pass the ball.
Listen, totally enjoyed it. We will get you in the studio. You promised me you'd be in the studio. We will have a real radio show where it's not just centric. You know, like I said, because of the Lumen investigations, we had to talk about this. But we're just going to have a good sports radio show when I get you in the booth. Looking forward to doing it. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Brian, we're going to do a quick commercial break. Omaha, go right back to a little baseball talk. Talk about a couple of things that came out over the weekend. Midday with Marcus Maben, 81.50, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. You enjoyed that interview, didn't you? You can tweet us at Maben939, at Stephen Rummage.
Yeah.
I was going to put a number behind. There's no number behind.
No, no, no number. Just my name.
Yeah, no, I was. I'm sitting there holding, watching it run out of battery, and there was a thing right in front of me.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you to put it over the top.
No, that works, man.
Russ Smith senior interview.
Yeah.
Listen, what was your hottest take out of hottest take? What did you get out of that interview?
That he's going for 15-10 Saturday. I'm gonna keep an eye on that.
I could not contain myself. And Brian Hall, you're gonna have to do a lot of clipping and editing, because there were quotes to come out of Russ Smith Sr.
Yeah.
that I need to put on my wall. I created a scoring machine. I think that's going to be my motto, except for scoring. I'm going to put something that says, Jalen Reeves, maybe I created a tackling machine.
No, that's good. I'm going to come up with something for my son. I do think what he said about, he said, when you're successful, you're a target. And
talked about that from the beginning.
Yeah, and I think, and one thing I think we've done is with the athletes and different stuff. I mean, we look, people know we these are our guys, you know. So,
and we think a little more athlete than the normal local host.
But what he
to
said
to a fault sometimes.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But what he said when you know, look, when you're successful, you're a target. I think that's a big thing. I mean, in life, as a lesson that you remember that, and this is something I think you're seeing here. So,
and on that note in particular, we talked about it from the very beginning. What was the motivation? What was the motivation to go public? What was the motivation to write a book? Oh, there wasn't a lot of money made, so that couldn't have been the motivation. And I think that this weekend we were all reminded that likes and retweets and shares on Facebook are as much motivation for people nowadays as anything.
Yeah. No, it's a social media driven world. I mean, that's
social media can drive a story.
It does drive a story.
It is
the story now. I mean, that's
the social media aspect of it.
I told the story the other day. I mean, not to get too far off, but I mean, I'm listening on the radio as Drew Diener and the guys are on, and we're 5 minutes in, and I'm on Twitter, and I know, stuff's coming down today, and they haven't found out yet, and it's the same thing for us. I mean, when we're sitting here, I mean, that's why I constantly scroll Twitter. I mean, that is the avenue, and that's where you go. And with something like this, I mean, that's why you get people people do a Facebook Live, and you get how many views, you know?
Right. I'm glad we were the first radio station to jump on the Facebook Live, but you'll see a lot of imitation coming out of that as well.
We do our thing.
Flattery, but. After Russ, and were you surprised to know that he wasn't patiently waiting, bated breath like we were for the NCAA ruling? Because I totally believe it. Listen, if I had heard that Russ Smith Sr. did not know about the sanctions coming out, if I had heard if I had read his quotes in the paper about how he doesn't care because the banner didn't play the games, I would have thought that was a PR move.
Absolutely.
I would have said BS. I would have said that's not true. He's just saying that publicly. I looked him in the face when he said he did not care. I mean, it is what it is. Like, he really had the perspective of, I mean, not that he don't care. Let me correct that. Not that he didn't care.
Right.
But he just accepted that we have no control over what mistakes somebody else and how people, you know, look to deal with those mistakes.
No, and I think you got the same vibe out of Luke when we've talked to Luke a few times. I mean, it
didn't make it any less disheartening, though. Again, we're wrestling senior Luke Hancock. That's the most uncomfortable conversation you can have if you have the least bit of empathy for people who put in that amount of work. Again,
well, you got a kid in Kevin Ware who's laying on the court, I mean, with a broken leg,
a life changing injury,
you know.
Oh, no, and the Russ Smith, the outside of the top 5,000 recruit, goes on to push his team to be the best team in the nation. And anybody who gets near that legacy, to me, you'd have to challenge. I'd steal the banner myself.
Yeah.
Just so it does not go anywhere just to keep it from going back into the NCAA's hands. No, I literally do it myself.
I agree. I mean, and then just to hear him tell story, and how refreshing was it to hear him talk about, were we the only two guys in the studio the other day when they talked about two-step or two-dribble? They were like,
yes.
No, yeah. Did you hear Donovan Mitchell said they played?
Yes.
Paul, they only dribbled
we
once.
We went total nerd, basketball
that's,
nerd.
That's how you play one-on-one.
Yeah. You didn't know two. What do you mean two
Church
dribbles?
League did you play in?
But no, that's always fun. But I will say that.
The point I was making was, I mean, he talks about doing that. I mean, this it humanizes things a little more when you say this guy was working his son out as a young child, learning these things. I mean, and that's incredible.
I will say this: out of that interview, we'll have 20 great things.
Yeah.
But I will call him disingenuous.
Yeah.
Russ Smith Sr. did not beat Russ Smith Jr. 6 months ago. I call
that
foul ball.
Yeah.
I call shenanigans. We will have Russ Smith on to confirm or deny. And I lay that challenge out right now that we get them both on.
We let that one go. We did let that one go because he was at the table.
We cut him a slight bit of slack on that one. But that's one of those, like, come on, you were just showing up for the radio, right? Okay, over under, if Russ confesses to this, more than 6 months or less than 6 months? What's the percentage that Russ Smith confesses to losing to his dad in a one-on-one game with two dribbles?
No way. I'm sorry, Russ. It didn't happen.
It just didn't happen.
Like, there's no way.
Brian Hall, are we running up on it? I know we got a little awkward on the.
We got Uber Andre.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I knew it was one thing. Uber Andre, thanks for holding on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Gentlemen, what the heck is going on? First, let me say, Russ Smith Sr. dropping some knowledge. And that story that he told about going into Russ's sophomore year and asking Patino to put him at the two, I think completely changed the way Patino saw things and coached things. Because, look, why would you want to put somebody in a point guard role that can score? If you look in the NBA, LeBron will bring the ball up. The guy in Milwaukee, Yada Hapa Capitapo, they'll give him the ball at 6'10". He'll bring it up. There's really not the definition of a true point guard, unless you're looking at Chris Paul. But you know what? You bring the ball up, you move it around. Things happen so fast in the NBA. Right off the top of my head, I can think of four teams that Russ Smith would be perfect on. Instead of bringing in Richard Jefferson and Iman Shumpert, bring Russ off the bench. Let him put some pressure on Golden State. He can score. Houston, wide open offense. Phoenix, wide open. Even Golden State, Russ would fit in perfectly. Okay, look, about the banners. This is some of the craziest stuff. I had to take all this in over the last week. The NCAA, you're not even following your own rules as the way to set punishment. I think we're going to be successful in the appeals process. It's mind-boggling to me that when you're upfront, you're honest, you admit your mistake, you self-impose your own punishment. And then they want to come and say they were horrified. Well, you know what? I've seen some things at Baylor and some other universities that have got me horrified, too. But if you're going to set the rules, play by the rules. Don't just change the midstream and make this thing political like you're outraged. It's a bunch of nonsense. Russ Smith Sr., I'm going to go ahead and say yes. You beat Russ Smith Jr. You might have fouled him. You might have held him. Used some old man strength and did the dad thing and said, look, you're not beating me. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. I can see that. Gentlemen, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to E-Town. Have a great day.
I appreciate the call, Uber Andre. Thank you so much. But I got to tell you, he changed my opinion. Not 3 minutes ago, I accused Russ Smith Sr. of giving us a fairy tale.
Right.
As soon as Uber Andre explained to us the grown man strength factor, the I can't lose heart of a lion at the end of his conquest, I'm starting to change. Maybe he did rough and tumble Russ Smith, and at some point Russ Smith has to decide, my dad's going to injure me in this game. I have however much money waiting on me in China. I cannot let my dad take me out. Dad, you got this one. Is that a fair explanation to how it happened?
That's a theory.
That's a theory.
you're You're not going to make it awkward on me, though. I mean, I'm not. Look, I've already said one time I don't think it. I'm not even going to look that direction. Right. I already said once I don't think it happened, and we'll leave it at that. All right?
Passionate.
Yeah.
Uber Andre.
He was. He was.
And again,
as a lot of people
he's
are.
Echoing yeah. exactly what we say when we see a Patty Mills, a Yogi Ferrell.
Yeah.
When we see a Steph Curry, and you say, I know what I know, and I know the most irritating thing, could you imagine a Steph Curry dealing with a Russ Smith just defensively?
Well, they don't want to in practice. I mean, I think that's the thing. I mean, that's a nightmare.
But it's
almost
to the point where the ownership doesn't even want that. Just, I don't need the confidence of my guard shaking.
No,
that's
what I'm
Russ
saying.
Smith
I mean, no, I don't know. I think that there's a part of it that says, look, I don't want my superstar on a daily basis practicing right. up against that because he's going to chew you up.
But
in
we
a practice
actually thought about this on the big stage. We
no,
actually
100%.
Thought about, you know, a irritating, I always say this, a scorer, if motivated, is always going to be the best defender on the floor.
Of course.
Because
yeah.
a scorer knows what you're trying to do in a different way
right.
than just a guy
right.
who's athletic and plays good defense. A scorer can see what just a good defender cannot.
Yeah.
That's why you have – and the kind of team where you have a LeBron James with the basketball, like – we've seen teams that just take advantage of good defenders.
Yeah.
And it seems like that would have been a perfect opportunity. Again, we're taking Russ Smith, who's not in the league, and transposing him into an NBA game.
Yeah.
And you're still kind of confident. The fact that everybody listening says, I don't know, is that's how much can be said. We're putting a Russ Smith on a championship game.
Right.
And you're saying, I don't think Steph would just kill him.
No. No, it is. I mean, because there's not a scenario you can come up where you would go, well, that's a sure thing.
Coming to you live from the Rustdiculous Golf Scramble.
Persimmon Ridge Golf Course, by the way.
I was going to wait the entire show until you pronounced it.
Okay.
I was not going to take a shot at that. No way, no
well,
how.
Well, thank you for leaving me out on that cliff.
Yes, but
and
you,
I botched
you delivered exactly like you should. Stephen Rummage in the building. Marcus Maven in the booth. Midday with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. On the other side, Tim Bardet on 93.9 The Ville.